I'm going to read from Scripture, Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But this time the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water. He came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God.
So we're in the middle of a series called Move. We just started it last week. And God wants to move us from one place to another, from something bad to something good. And he is constantly, through this, changing us to be more like him. And Kelly read a scripture last week that I want to read again. It's 2 Corinthians 3:18, and it says, "All of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit." So today, our topic is moving from fear to faith. Well, this kind of movement has a little more to do with a change in focus or a change of direction, and that affects the direction that we move in our movement. So a lot of fears start in childhood. You can think back to your childhood and all kinds of things you might have been afraid of. And so I'd like to start with a story about a little boy who was afraid. One summer night, during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son into bed. She was about to turn the light off when he asked in a trembling voice, "Mommy, will you stay with me all night?" Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence followed. At last, it was broken by a shaky voice saying, "The big sissy." All right, so it starts with fear of the dark or whatever when we are little children. And so the Bible has a lot to say about fear and about faith. And most of us know that we should not be afraid because we have this Heavenly Father who is all-powerful, the creator of the universe, who is watching over us, and there is nothing to fear. Yet we still deal with it, and there are many scriptures that tell us not to be afraid. Do not fear. Have no fear. Whatever. It's said so many different ways. And angels show up to the shepherds. Don't be afraid is the first thing they say. But we still struggle with fear, even though we know that we shouldn't have it. So hopefully we can learn some things today that will help us learn how to move from fear to faith in God. So we all have fears of some kind, even as adults. And some of them may be small and don't affect us that much. Like, you know, Kelly's kind of afraid of spiders, but it's okay. He calls me and I kill them for him. So he's not here. Actually, he's not here today, so I'm talking about him. Just so you guys know, he is on his way to Greenville, Illinois. He had a Free Methodist board that he's part of. They have a meeting and he's over there, so he'll be back this week. But he had to leave early this morning. So anyway, in case you were wondering. So we all have fears of some kind. Some are sort of small, and some start in childhood, and they're actually kind of significant, like if we've been mocked or bullied or something. There can be all kinds of fears that come from those kinds of things. Some fears are actually very rational and good. Like one time, Kelly had to dig down. We had a sewer pipe that was broken, and we knew where it was. They had put a camera down there, and we wanted to save money. It had to be repaired, but he decided to dig down to it. So he's digging and digging. He's got this huge hole, and it wasn't above his head, but it was getting close to his head. And all of a sudden, he heard this plop, like something falling into water. And so it was a good kind of fear that got him to scramble out of that hole before the ground gave way. There was a cesspool deep underneath that we didn't even know about, and he would have fallen, I don't know how many feet into it. So that was a good kind of fear that God has given us to get away from danger. So fear isn't always bad, but most of the time, the things we're afraid of are things that are hindering us in our faith. Well, some fears are good, but then there are some that are irrational. So I just wanted to share a few things that I looked up phobias online, and there are some really interesting ones. And hopefully none of you have any of these, because I don't want to be making fun of you. And if you do, I'm sorry. But we have electrophobia, which is a fear of chickens. Palatophobia is a fear of baldness and bald people. On the other hand, we have catophobia, which is a fear of hairy people. There's porphyrophobia, which is the fear of the color purple. Somnophobia is a fear of falling asleep. I'm glad I don't have that one. Omphalophobia is a fear of the navel. And there are people who have had trouble in medical school because of this fear. Xenophobia, this one I thought, is this really real? But it is. It's a fear of the great mole rat. They are kind of weird looking, but... Then there's arachibutyrophobia, which is a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. Then there's ostium tractophobia, which is a fear of doorknobs. And I thought, is this really a fear? You can look online. I've read about a pretty famous actress that is afraid, has this fear, and it's related to a fear of germs and things on the doorknobs. But then there's the phobophobia, which is a fear of being afraid. This one we've probably all had to some degree, maybe not as a major phobia, but it's the nomophobia, which is a fear of not having a working cell phone. That's a newer fear. And I think when I go out the door, I don't have my phone. I rush back in and get it. But my favorite one of all is this one, the hippopotamostrosis quipedaliophobia, which is the fear of long words. And it really is called that, and that really is a fear. Well, it's kind of humorous to think about these things, but it's not very fun, actually, to experience fear. I looked up the definition, and it is a very unpleasant or distressing feeling caused by the presence or imminence of danger, evil, or pain, whether the threat is real or imagined. Being afraid is unpleasant. It's not fun at all. So I've read that the fear of death, some say the fear of death is the root of all fears. And that you'd think maybe that's true. The things that you're afraid of, you're afraid that eventually you're going to die or something bad will happen. But there is a wonderful verse that I want to read, actually two verses. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." Jesus came and destroyed the power of death. He did it through death itself. He destroyed its power. And so we don't have anything to fear. Jesus destroyed death, the ultimate fear. Yet we still experience fear on the earth. How do we move from a place of fear to a place of faith? What kind of movement is that? So today I want to look at someone who experienced fear and moved to faith. We heard the story, as Anya read, about Peter. And we'll see that sometimes movement involves a change in focus. So we're going to go through the story. It was read, so I'm just going to read a few verses at a time, and then we'll talk about them. So this is from Matthew 14, and starting with verse 24. "By this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, 'It is a ghost!' And they cried out in fear." So the disciples have been with Jesus for a while at this point. In fact, he's just fed the 5,000. You've heard that story with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he's fed all these people. Well, after that, he sends them off. He's been kind of spent with his ministry and just giving and giving. He wants to go alone to pray. He goes on a mountain to pray, and he tells them to get in a boat and go to the other side of the sea. And they're going across the Sea of Galilee, which is actually like a large lake. And there are mountains around it that rise up 4,000 feet. It's kind of in a valley. And so the cold air comes down from the mountains and the warm, moist air from the lake. They collide and cause a lot of storms on this sea. So that's where they were. And sure enough, they ran into a storm. And so scripture says, maybe in one of the other gospels, that it was about the third watch of the night, which is like between 3 and 6 in the morning. So they've been out there for hours, rowing and trying to get, they haven't even gotten close to land. They're about 4 miles away still from the land. And they are totally exhausted and fearful. They're fearful for their lives. They're afraid they're going to die. This is a bad storm. So all of a sudden, they see Jesus walking toward them. They don't know who he is. And they've been with them for at least a couple of years by now. And they don't recognize him at all. They are exhausted and afraid. And they are confused. Fear causes confusion. And so they completely miss seeing Jesus coming to them. They don't realize who he is. Actually, he adds to their fear because not only are they tossed about by the storm, but now they think a ghost has arrived on the scene. And so they're just like, whoa, no, this is terrible. So their fear leads them to confusion. Sometimes our circumstances, things around us, or things that we're afraid might happen, circumstances in the future, they make us afraid. And when that happens, we also get confused and we can't think straight or we can't think logically or what's really happening or what's really real. And we don't even realize that God is there because we're so wrapped up in our fear over what's going on. And we just get confused and we just don't see the way that God sees. So fear leads to confusion. Let's move on. So after they cry out in fear, there's a ghost. And we're going to start with verse 27. Immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus realizes, hey, they don't recognize me. I better tell them who I am. But he just says, "It is I." Anybody could say that. A ghost could say that, right? But Peter believes it's him, and he radically changes from being fearful. All of a sudden, he's ready to get out on the stormy sea, on the water, and walk towards Jesus. He now has all kinds of confidence because of his faith in Jesus. He knows who Jesus is. He knows what he can do. He's his friend and his leader. And when he sees Jesus, he's like, that's it. I believe I'm going to go towards him. So fear led to confusion, but having faith in his leader and friend, Jesus, led to confidence in Peter's heart. So his confidence is based on the presence of the one that Peter knows and trusts. Fear leads to confusion, but faith leads to confidence. And confidence, we think about that, and we think somebody who's confident has it all together, and like they just are like so confident because they know who they are, they know they can do whatever, and we look at somebody who's confident and think, oh yeah, that's confidence. But sometimes that kind of confidence is actually a false confidence, and true confidence doesn't come from being perfect in ourselves or being perfectly holy or good or anything. It comes from having the presence of God with us and knowing that God is there. And then it's his confidence. And we can only have that if we know he is with us and if our focus is on him. So that's kind of what happened for Peter, what happened to Peter here for a bit. He's a little bit up and down, as you heard the story. But right at this point, he has faith and he sees Jesus and he has confidence in him. All right, let's continue on. So starting with verse 29. So he, Jesus, said, "Come." Peter had just said, "If it's you, tell me to come." Jesus says, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." So Jesus says one word, "Come." And Peter, I think, recognizes his voice, or he knows, yes, it's him. And what does he do? He moves. He moves towards Jesus. He steps out of the boat and onto the water. Jesus' word, "Come," fills him with faith, and he starts actually walking on water. We could talk, I think there have been sermons about what it means to step out of the boat and the faith that it takes and what God's calling you to do. Well, I just want you to right now just think about the radicalness of this situation. There is a storm and they see someone that they're pretty sure is Jesus, and Peter is getting out of a boat into a storm. I don't think I would have been like Peter. He's a little bit more rash and headstrong than I am as a personality. But he was the one who went out there and he's walking on water. That is just crazy. So as Peter is walking towards Jesus, though, something happens. The circumstances don't change. The storm is still there. The wind is still blowing. The waves are still going. And it was that way when he stepped out. So that hasn't changed. But it says he noticed the strong wind. He's forgotten to keep looking at Jesus. And what changes is not the storm, but it's Peter's focus. His focus has changed from Jesus to the storm. So fear takes over, and now things get even worse for him because he starts sinking. Not only is he in a storm and all this is going on around him, he's actually sinking into it, and now he knows. If something doesn't happen, he is going to die. So he does the only thing he can do. He calls out to Jesus and he says, "Lord, save me." You know, and that's what we would do. You know, help, you know, whoever's there that could help us. We're going to call out in that kind of a situation. But if our eyes are on our circumstances, we don't see Jesus. Instead, we become fearful. So he went from being fearful to having faith, and now he's back to being fearful because he was looking at his circumstances, what was going on around him. If we look at the impossible situations, the pain we experience, or the future that is uncertain, we may not see any way to deal with it, and we're afraid. We look at the circumstances, and there seems to be no way out. It might be hard to believe that God is bigger than all that. I mean, we know it in our minds, but do we really believe it in our hearts? And that's what we need to learn to do. If our focus is on our circumstances, our focus isn't on God. You can't focus on two things at the same time. And then we start to feel like we're sinking, just like Peter did. Okay, the last thing that happened, he was sinking and he called out. So let's read on. Verse 31 says, "Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" When Peter cries out to Jesus, I'm sure he's looking right at him. You don't like call for help over here, and the person you're hoping is listening to you is here. He's focused on Jesus, and he's saying, "Lord, save me." He's desperate, knowing that without help, he'll probably drown. And when he calls to Jesus, what happens? Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and saves him. So if you have your eyes on Jesus and call out to him, he'll do the same. So the interesting thing is that Jesus was there the whole time. He hadn't gone. Just like the storm and the winds and the waves hadn't changed, Jesus' presence hadn't changed. He was there the whole time. But Peter didn't realize it. He just looked away from him. And that's when he began to sink. But as soon as he looked back at Jesus, he is saved. So I just wanted to share kind of something that I experienced. This is kind of a different kind of story maybe, but I don't even remember what the situation was. I think I was a young adult sometime and going through something difficult. And now I don't even remember what it was. But I remember what God showed me through it. And I felt like he wanted me to use my imagination, and sometimes our imagination is not a good thing, and it takes us down the wrong road, but God can sanctify our imagination and use it in a good way. And I felt like he wanted me to climb on his lap. And what that meant for me was to just immerse myself in him. And I felt like God is huge. You know, when I got, imagining myself being that close to him, it was like he was so immense and his lap was so big and I was just lost. And I just had I felt like my head was kind of tucked in towards him and everything was just, that's all I could think about was how big God was. So that was good. And then I felt like he said, "Now turn around and look out." And when I looked out, it was like, oh, there's a few things going on way far away. They're really small and insignificant. And that's how I felt like the perspective he was giving me was his greatness compared to my problems, whatever they were. They were very small, really, compared to who he is. I don't even remember what the problem was now when I look back, but I do remember that sense of being close to my God, who was so strong. And if I could hide in him, everything else would become smaller and not so big and scary or difficult. So our circumstances may be difficult and huge, but God is bigger than our circumstances. Focusing on your circumstances leads to fear, but focusing on Jesus doesn't necessarily change your circumstances, but it will give you faith and courage and hope and confidence to face the future, no matter what happens or whatever is happening right now, to be able to face it. So we've been talking about movement. And movement does definitely mean stepping out in faith to whatever God wants you to do. But it also requires a change in focus. You're looking one way, and now you're going to change and look the other way. So you're either looking towards your circumstances or you're looking towards Jesus. You can't look at both at the same time. So whatever direction you're facing, that's also the way you're going to move. The way you're going to go. Do you want to go deeper into your fear, like just get lost in it, or do you want to get closer to Jesus in faith? And so to me, it's like rather obvious. I would rather be over here than over here. I would rather be moving towards Jesus and living by faith than getting lost in my fears. But how do we actually do that? How do we actually move towards Jesus in faith? Well, I think Peter is a good example for us. You can pray like him. If it is you, call me to yourself. Or you can say, Lord, save me. A simple prayer. Whatever it is, just our part is just to look to him and to call out to him. We don't have to get it all together or be perfect or anything. We just look to him. That's what it is. So, whatever direction you are facing, whatever you are looking towards, whatever is going on in your life, that is the direction you will move if you're focused on it. You'll just get deeper and deeper into that. So I just want to invite you to focus on Jesus and to know that he is bigger than your fears. I'm not saying your fears aren't real or that they're stupid or anything. And some fears are really based in reality, and there are things that could happen, and there are things that we have to be really careful about or make decisions about, but God is still bigger than all of that. That storm was real. It was a very serious situation the disciples were in, but God was bigger than that. Jesus was bigger than that. He calmed the storm in the end. And God will honor any movement that you make and any step that you take towards him. He invites you, just like Jesus said to Peter. He says, come, come to me. And that is his invitation. He just wants you to come to him. It's like sometimes we think there's some big answer or some step that we need to take or something that we need to just get a hold of. But actually all it is being close to God, coming to him, and looking to him, and then he helps us with all the rest of it. We're going to take communion, and as we do, I just want to invite you to remember what Jesus did, that first, the scripture in Hebrews that I read, about how he came, and through his death, he destroyed the power of the devil, who through fear of death had subjected us all to slavery. So there's no need to fear, because Jesus is with us. You've also been handed a card. So I'd like to invite you to write, fill in the blanks. You can write from fear to faith on one side. And on the back side, you can write something personal, a prayer or some fear, something that you really need help with and that you want to move away from and move to faith. Maybe you need to have faith to step out and move towards Jesus. Or maybe it's something he's asked you to do that you need to have faith to do. And you can also, I invite you to come up for prayer. If you want prayer in any area, you can do it before you get your communion or afterwards. And I invite you to just come. Jesus is saying, come. God is saying, come. And whatever it is that you need to come with to him, I encourage you to do that. All right, so let's turn our focus on God and let him help us move from fear to faith. Let's pray. Lord, help us. We are so, so prone to weakness, to fear, to just kind of having our focus on the wrong thing. Looking at the things going on around us that are so real and so hard, but you are greater than all of that. So help us, Lord, to turn away from the fear, as debilitating and as strong as it might be, or even as small as it might be, or as kind of hidden it might be, something that affects us that we hardly realize. Bring those to our mind so that we can see how fear is hindering us. And we just look to you, Lord. We want to have our focus on you, not our circumstances. And we ask for your help. So, Lord, we just come to you and look to you. We turn to you now. Amen.